Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Previously on Lordship, the murder of Adrian Donoghue.
It was 9:30 and it was my superintendent, Jerry Curley, and he said to me, he says, did you hear about Adrian? And I says, no, what about Adrian? He said, he's dead.
It was one of the biggest investigations in the state's history. The murder of a detective in the course of his duty.
So then I went around to the front of the car to see if Adrian was okay, but his injuries were so horrific, it was pain. He was dead.
Aaron Brady, a tug from Cross Madeleine, County Armagh, was the lead suspect from early in the case. His alibi didn't add up.
We had seen on his phone records that he was contacting her at a time he said he was with her.
Pat Murray, the senior investigating officer, was closing in on Brady.
The plank of his alibi was gone.
But overnight, things went asunder. Their man vanished, and the case was given a massive setback.
He boards a flight to Newark in the United States, deciding that he didn't want to face the music. He had enough. And he was going to try rebuild a life for himself in America.
Now, with Brady in America, the case takes on a different challenge. An international police investigation that would span multiple years.
I decided when I get back to Dundalk, I'm going to get a poster drawn up. And the poster I will get put on all the ESB poles in Yonkers and all of that area.
Aaron Brady's sitting at a bar stool one night. He's emotional, he's crying. And he starts talking to Daniel Cahill about what it's like to kill a man.
He pointed out the picture of Aaron Brady and said, that's him, that's him.
The result, the longest murder trial in the history of the Irish state. One filled with witness intimidation and dirty tricks in a conspiracy to pervert the course of justice.
He was told that if he came back to Ireland, he would be dealt with and his family would be got as well if he ever gave evidence against Aaron Brady.
I'm Fionnán Sheehan, and in the second part of our two-part special on the 2013 killing of Detective Garda Adrian Donoghue, I'm joined by Robin Schiller, senior journalist with the Irish Independent, and Pat Murray, former senior investigating officer on the Adrian Donoghue case, who are now the co-authors of Murder in Lordship, Inside the Hunt for a Detective's Killer, to discuss the stateside hunt for the wanted Aaron Brady and how now, 11 years on, the case is back in the news. So, Robin, in our previous episode, you detailed how Aaron Brady is facing possible arrest. His alibi and his story is collapsing, so he's fled to the United States. First to Boston, and then he heads to New York.
Yeah, so in early 2014, after his falling out with Jimmy Flynn, another suspect in the robbery at Lordship, he moves down to New York and resettles in Woodlawn, which your listeners may know is a predominantly Irish community. In north of the Bronx, encroaching to Westchester County nearly. And one thing about it is there's endless amounts of bars on the streets of Katona Avenue and McLean Avenue. It's a really popular spot, not just for people going over to work and look for full-time employment, but also for people on short-term visas living there. So it's a real Irish community down there. And Brady moves there. He's jumping in between accommodation, couch surfing essentially for several months, and eventually finds more permanent accommodation. He starts working in construction. He eventually works his way up from driving bobcats to working on large machinery. He's making around $65 an hour. He's driving a really fancy car. He meets a girl. He eventually have a child over there. And he's really starting to build this really kind of permanent life for himself over there, believing that it's a safe haven for him and that he's out of the reach of the Garda investigation team back in Ireland.
But not happy, though. He appears to start drinking quite a bit.
He has his own issues, obviously, and the pressure of what he's done and what he's facing starts to wane him, and it's quite obvious even within months of arriving back in New York. He's going on binges, he's spending his wages in the bars on Gatone Avenue, McLean Avenue. He seems, from several different witness statements, to develop a cocaine habit as well. And the weight of what he's done and the weight of what he's running from begins to come too much, essentially. And there would be numerous instances over that kind of 4-year period he was living in New York where he essentially, in some cases, breaks down, starts crying about what he's done, about the murder of Adrian Donoghue, and in other cases, brags about it and kind of wears that murder and what he's done as a badge of honour to intimidate people and make some sort of a name for himself. So he has these kind of very different ends of the scale and how he is emotionally, and he seems very erratic by all accounts, living over there, getting into fights, bragging about what he's done, and just a very kind of erratic character by all accounts.
Now, Pat, you had been off the case, as we discussed, with health issues and coming back onto it. You were now back onto the case, and it was from Aaron Brady's new life in New York that you got a hit of somebody telling you he did it.
I was off the case for 3 years. I came back on it and tried to rally the troops and see where we would go, moving the investigation forward. And at that time, a Sinn Féin councillor in Carlingford, he had on his Facebook put up a report about Adrian's murder, and anyone that knows anything about it should come forward to the guards. And hey presto, a friend of his in New York contacted him and said, yeah, I know, I met that fella and he told me he killed a guard. Can you get the guards to contact me? I said, I'd do it myself. And with that, I made a phone call to this person who left his number in New York. I rang him and his name was Christy Martin. And he told me over the phone, I met this Aaron Brady in a pub one night after a wedding. I was asking him, I said, you're Brady from Ireland? I went, yeah. I'm the fellow who shot the guard. Said it quite blatantly to him. And he said it had been on his mind for a long time. He said he just thought it was disgusting. I asked him, would he make a statement? And he said he couldn't make a statement and he wouldn't make a statement at this stage. So over a period of about 3 months talking to Christy Martin and trying to convince him to do the right thing, he rang me once and said, yeah, I made up my mind, I'm going to make a statement. And I said, why did you change your mind? He says, well, there's two people I respect and one of them told me, don't have anything to do with the guards. You can't trust them, move on. And the other man, who I would respect even more, said to me, look, stand up on your 2 feet, do the right thing and tell the truth and be a man. And he says, that's what I'm doing. And I said to him, look, there is a reward. And he says, don't mention money to me. He says, I'm not doing this for money. I'm doing this for Adrian's family and for his children. I want to tell the truth. So we arranged then to meet in New York, and he made a statement to me in a Homeland Security facility, and on camera he pointed out the picture of Aaron Brady and said, that's him, and he's the guy that told me he shot the guard. So I knew this was definitely a move in the right direction. Christy Martin said, look, there are other people that know about this, and he's mouthed it around. I'm not telling any other names because they asked me not to tell you anything about their names. And I said, that's fine. I respect that. I thanked him again for coming in and standing on his 2 feet. So on the way home on the plane, I was thinking to myself, how will I nurture this or bring this on? And I decided when I get back to Dundalk, I'm going to get a poster drawn up, and the poster I will get put on all the ESB poles in Yonkers and all of that area, and put them in pubs and shops and that. And I had bought a burner phone and I put that number on it as well.
Poster was looking for information on the murder.
Looking for information on the murder of Adrian Donoghue. And I also canvassed the Irish Central newspaper in New York, which has a readership of 3 million Irish per week. And I went to the owner of that, Niall O'Dowd, and he said he would cooperate, and he put me in contact.
And Niall O'Dowd, well-established member of the Irish American, his brother is the local TD in
Fergus. I contacted Fergus first, who put me in, got me Niall's number, and they put it on the front page and put it out, you know, so it covered a wide area. And it was a result of that that I got a phone call from a guy. He says, I want to help you out, and I'll tell you about Aaron Brady over here. It told us where he worked and what he was doing, and he said, there are two people that you need to speak with. And he gave the name of Tommy McGeary as one man and another man. And he said, they are the people that you need to talk to, because he was stuck to them. And if they know anything, if anyone knows that, they'll know something.
Things were falling into place. And you were getting really good cooperation from US authorities.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I couldn't talk highly enough of Homeland Security. I was in contact with an absolute brilliant special agent. And if I asked him for anything, like, you know, we need to trace these people down, he would ring me back in a couple of days. Yes, we know who they are. We know where they're living. So one of the guys was traced down, and it became quite apparent that he didn't have anything to offer. And that was it. The second guy, Tommy McGeary, they went to his house. He couldn't be found. Then the Homeland Security says, we know his girlfriend is this Molly Staunton. Like, well, why don't we call around to her? Maybe he's staying with her, or maybe she knows. So I said, why not? And she was called to, and the Homeland Security introduced themselves to her. She said, what he is here for. We're looking for Tommy. Oh, I'm not going out with him anymore. We broke up, and this, that, and the other. No, we just wanted to talk. And she said, are you here about the person that hurt? And they said, well, what do you mean? And Homeland Security, was it a stabbing or what? No, no, they shot him. She says, I know about that. Would you be prepared to talk to the guards? And would you be prepared to come down to the station in a Homeland Security facility to talk about that to the guards? Absolutely, she's a very genuine, upfront girl. No problem with her whatsoever. And she had no problem giving evidence or anything like that. She says, yeah, I'll tell the truth. She said she was sharing an apartment with her boyfriend, Tommy McGeary, and Aaron Brady was sharing a room there. And he came out one day and he was crying and he was ranting and raving. He said, I shot that cop and fuck it, there are guards that are after me and this type of stuff. And she was, you know, shocked, like, was listening to this. And my girlfriend is pregnant and I can't go back to Ireland because I shot that guard. And, you know, he was upset and all, and she was taking all this in, and she said it to Tommy McGeary. What's all this? Oh, yeah, yeah. He shot the guard in it, but keep your mouth shut, to say nothing. Now, she said to us there was other people in the room, and one of them was Jimmy Flynn's cousin, and who we eventually traced down and was the subject of intimidation.
Robin, can I come to you here? There's another Irishman in New York, that's Daniel Cahill. And again, he also hears Brady's confession.
Yeah, so Daniel Cahill grew up in North Dublin in Donaghmead and would have moved to America in around 2013. He begins working pubs in Woodlawn and eventually starts working the Coachman's Inn. It's another one of these pubs that Aaron Brady would have frequented while living in New York. And he works there. Brady's a good customer. Brady's a regular client. And slowly after time, they start getting to know each other. Daniel Cahill would later hear of four different incidents in which Aaron Brady spoke about his involvement in the murder of Aidan Donoghue, one of them being a bar fight. According to the witness statement of Daniel Cahill, Brady was punched in the pub one night. He went to the toilet. Daniel Cahill went to check on him, and Aaron Brady, after, I suppose, his honour being slighted, being hit, I think he had a scar, a serious cut to his face, started talking about how the person who punched him would pay for what happened, that he's killed somebody before, and that's not the first time you do it. And starts talking about his involvement in the murder of Aidan Donoghue. There'd be another incident in a house party where, you know, it's late after work at night. Daniel Cahill decides to join Aaron Brady's friends in a house. They're all sitting around, and basically Aaron Brady's boasting about what it's like to kill a man and that he'd shot a guard in Ireland before. I think initially Daniel Cahill didn't believe Aaron Brady. He thought he might be a bit of a fantasist, that he's just trying to live off reputation. But I think over time, it slowly became apparent that Aaron Brady was actually legitimately what he was saying. He was admitting and boasting about the murder of Aidan Donoghue. And it wasn't just with Daniel Cahill. I think in total, Gardaí would get seven statements from seven different people who all told them in interviews, in formal witness statements, that Aaron Brady admitted to the murder. Daniel Cahill being one, Molly Staunton another, Christy Morton gave a statement as well, Tommy McGeary, Ronan Flynn. The unfortunate thing is there's many more who knew what Aaron Brady had done, who would have confessed to what he had done, but they just weren't willing to come forward and stand up and be counted and give evidence against him.
So Robin, on foot of these statements, you have a real case building here against Aaron Brady. You've got the Gardaí building their case. You've got the NYPD having him under surveillance and putting together a picture of his life and tracking his movements. And this all culminates in the events of May 18th, 2013. 2017 at 5:30 a.m.
Yes, that morning, Aaron Brady, who's living unlawfully in the United States for about 4 years at this stage, he gets into his car where he's living with his wife and child. He gets into the black Audi, he leaves for work, he starts driving up the road, and all of a sudden a swarm of police cars converge on him. Members of Homeland Security, NYPD, a lot of different units. And while initially he may think it's a traffic stop, he knows that it's a bit more serious than that, and that his life in America is coming to an end. And I suppose that arrest was to do with his immigration status. He was meant to go home after 90 days. He had no intention of doing so. And eventually the American officials decided that was enough, and they're going to send him home.
4 years after he entered the US on a temporary visa, a team of armed officers swooped early in the morning, arresting Aaron Brady for immigration offences.
Aaron Brady was deported because he was in violation of immigration status in the United States. He was in overstay, so he'd outlived the terms of his visit to the United States, and he was removed.
As well as the fact that he's still facing live domestic charges in Ireland in relation to the Dundalk ramming incident that he'd fled from initially. So all those things considered, he was arrested and eventually was deported, brought to court on the bench warrants, and subsequently given, I think it was about a year in prison. And that time really gave the Garda investigation team a few extra months to put the final bits together in the file for DPP and arrest Brady when he came out of prison and hopefully charge him with the murder.
So, Pat, the chief suspect is back in Ireland. He's in Garda custody. He's in prison. So that removes any jurisdictional doubt in that regard. What's the sense at that point? Is there a belief we have our guy and we're going to get him into court?
Well, he was back in Ireland. I had to prepare the case and have the exhibits and everything in place, number one, for when he's arrested. Number two, I had to have the DPP properly informed of what we actually had. And apart from the statements, like, we had a company called Acuity, who specialised in identifying cars from CCTV. And there was quite a lot of work to be done around that to identify the getaway car, being the car that was one burned out. And as a result of all of that, we were able to pick Jimmy Flynn's car out as being very near the house where the car was stolen. It was used in the robbery. So all that had to be finalised, had to be made solid and put to Aaron Brady when he was going to be questioned. So there was a huge amount of work to be done. And then I was in contact with the DPP all along. I was able to bring them and say, this is what we have and that. So they were fully briefed up until Aaron Brady was, like, obviously arrested and brought in.
Robin, we ultimately get into the courtroom, pre-trial late 2019, court case itself early 2020. But things don't quite go normally, as one would put it. There seems to be an awful lot of witness and intimidation taking place here. There are instances of contempt of court.
So in early 2020, you have the trial commencing, obviously just ahead of the COVID pandemic, which would create its own problems. Even before the trial started, Gardaí compiled a number of reports about witnesses in the case who they had concerns about being intimidated and coming forward. I think one witness, Ronan Flynn, they had serious concerns about that efforts being made to intimidate him and his family. He was told that if he came back to Ireland, he would be dealt with and his family would be got as well if he ever gave evidence against Aaron Brady. Another man who didn't have quite the same level of evidence to give but would still be an important witness, he refused to come to court and told Gardaí that he would be killed if he gave evidence in the trial. So this all happened in the backdrop before we come to court. And then in May 2020, as the trial's about to proceed to the American witnesses, who are obviously giving us confession evidence against Aaron Brady, a WhatsApp video starts circulating online of Ronan Flynn, who gave a recorded video statement in New York to Gardaí.
He said to me, and Tommy was there in the room, and he said, so what, I shot him, so what?
okay, so we're saved in the room, we're in the house, in the house. But then Remy's drunk, he would be like, yeah, sure, fuck it, you know, then he'd just spill the beans and everything.
And that was put online and accused Ronan Flynn of being a tout, of touting against his own cousins, who are the Flynns, and making all sorts of accusations that he's a rat. And that worked eventually. He refused to come to court and give evidence. A few other witnesses also refused to come to court. And I think in the initial stage of that investigation, within 24 hours, Gardaí were satisfied that Aaron Brady, through a laptop he'd been provided to view exhibits in the case against him, that he had somehow gotten a phone into prison, that he'd recorded those recorded statements, these excerpts, and then he'd circulated them online before they were further circulated, making the serious accusations against Ronan Flynn.
A video of a witness giving a statement to Gardaí about hearing Brady make an admission was circulated on social media with the captions "rat and tout." That person was one of five witnesses with similar stories who didn't give evidence in the trial, during which there were repeated claims of witness interference and intimidation.
There are bizarre things happening outside the court as well. There are conspiracy theorists claiming that Brady has nothing to do with this.
Yeah, for some reason, it just seemed to attract these kind of, protesters who they would have been in tandem with anti-vaccine and COVID restriction protests. And for whatever reason, they latched onto Aaron Brady and decided that he's an innocent man and he's been framed by the state. And
to your mind, what were the key moments in the trial?
I think the evidence given by Molly Staunton and Daniel Cahill, the only two witnesses from the US who actually ended up giving evidence in court. Daniel Cahill in particular is a very strong witness. You know, despite robust cross-examination, being accused of being a member of the IRA, essentially by one of Brady's barristers, Justin McQuaid, he didn't relent. He stuck to his story, stuck to what Aaron Brady told him, that Aaron Brady had admitted that he shot Aidan Donahue on a number of occasions. And Daniel Cahill himself would later, during the trial and also after the fact, be subject to severe threat, all because he gave evidence in the trial.
So after this lengthy trial, on August the 12th, 2020, we have a verdict.
So initially, Brady was obviously found guilty of robbery. And as the main charge against him was capital murder. That took a bit longer for the jury to come back on. And eventually, just shortly after noon, the jury came back with a verdict. And they decided that 11-1 majority verdict that Aaron Brady was the man who shot at Aidan Donahue.
7 years after the shooting of Detective Garda Adrian Donahue in County Louth, Aaron Brady has been found guilty of capital murder. The 29-year-old from New Road, Cross McGlen, County Armagh, is now facing a mandatory 40-year sentence following his conviction at the Central Criminal Court this afternoon. Gardaí have described the verdict as an important day for the administration of justice in Ireland.
And it was just an emotional day in court. It was a relief in a lot of ways for the Garda investigation team. Adrian's family, his wife and siblings would have been in court as well, just after all the effort put in that investigation, the 7 years leading up to that.
And I would like to most sincerely thank the jury for sticking with this trial for so long, and for my Garda colleagues and for the prosecution team, on behalf of Amy Nile and myself. Thank you very much.
A turbulent trial that has survived a pandemic and the restrictions that came with that, that survived serious attempts led and orchestrated by Aaron Brady to intimidate witnesses. And a jury, having sat and listened to all the evidence for 8 months, decided that he was the man who murdered Aidan Donahue. And I think just a lot of emotion was involved in that, that despite the efforts of Aaron Brady to evade justice, despite fleeing to America, believing he was out of the reach of Gardaí, that despite all this, that eventually Aaron Brady was convicted of murder.
And this was not a regular murder sentence, though?
No, it's not. I suppose given the role on Garda Síochána can play in protecting the state, they're afforded more protections. And one of them is, if a member of an Garda Síochána, I think it includes prison officers as well, but if they're murdered in the course of their duty, then the tariff is a lot higher. It's more extreme. And Aaron Brady, I think, was the first person in 35 years to be convicted of capital murder. But that comes with a minimum life sentence of 40 years imprisonment. Whereas in a normal murder sentence, you can apply for parole after 12 years, 13 years, it might have changed in recent years. But for Aaron Brady, because he murdered a member of an Garda Síochána, performing his duty in the course of his duty, that minimum sentence of 40 years applies. So,
Pat, that must have been a wealth of emotions coming forward for you that day when that guilty verdict came in.
It was, but in all fairness, the team had gathered before the verdict and we agreed that there'd be no yahoo, and we all just were delighted and we shook hands, and, you know, and for me, a number of guards came up to me and shook my hand, says, only for you, we wouldn't be here. And look, I take that as a huge honour. I was delighted, like, you know, he was found guilty in a court of law, and, you know, there was no huge emotion of elation. We were just pleased that that's all the hard work. And there was a huge team of guards there who all worked tirelessly on the investigation. And one of the things I always did at our conferences, I'd always say, like, you know, you have to keep in mind, if one of us was shot dead, who would be sitting at this desk, only Adrian Donoghue, doing his best for the investigation? So we owe it to him. We owe it to the colleagues here in the station. We owe it to the Garda Síochána organisation. And we owe it to the people of Ireland, really, because it was an affront, his murder. And I was happy when I retired that that was my parting shot at such, you know.
Robin, Aaron Brady is in prison for the murder of Adrian Donoghue, but there were other people involved.
Adrian's brother, Colm, also issued this appeal today.
Aaron Brady was not alone in Lordship on the 25th of January 2013. The quest for justice for Adrian will continue, and we appeal to anyone, near or far, who has any information and may assist in this investigation, come forward and do the right thing to bring those involved to justice.
Yeah, so in the car park of Lordship Credit Union that night, there were at least four other people involved in Aaron Brady. The Garda investigation team alleged that with him were Brendan Benny Traynor and James Jimmy Flynn. And in 2021, both of them were arrested as part of that investigation. They were eventually tried before the Special Criminal Court, a non-jury court, given the fact that there's such intimidation of witnesses in Aaron Brady's trial. Now, Brendan Traynor was ultimately found not guilty of robbery, and he was also found not guilty of a second charge of conspiracy to commit burglaries relating to a number of different burglaries in the lead-up to the murder, which included the theft of the getaway car. James Flynn was also acquitted of robbery. He was found, however, to have conspired to steal the Volkswagen Passat used in the Adrian Donoghue murder. And because he was involved in taking a car that would later be used in such a high-profile crime, he was sentenced to 8 years imprisonment. Now, obviously, Flynn was convicted of conspiracy to burglary, but Benny Traynor didn't even leave the court with his reputation fully intact. The court said that he was a member of the criminal gang there. He proved their activities. In evidence, it was given that he had a tattoo drawn on his back in 2018, 5 years after murder, but knowing he was a suspect, depicting events at Lordship Credit Union, including firearms, gangsters, and all this sort of stuff. So the court was no doubt that while there was not enough evidence to convict him of robbery, he was absolutely linked to that criminal organisation and approved of their activities. So we have three people who've been tried. Aaron Brady's been convicted. Brendan Traynor's been found not guilty. And James Flynn is serving a sentence for conspiring to steal the getaway car. The investigation is ongoing, and there's always hope that the other people who were either directly involved in the robbery or provided logistical assistance will be arrested and tried.
And Aaron Brady was back in court this month?
He was. So a separate guard investigation commenced into the intimidation of witnesses during his trial. I think in excess of 8 or 9 people were arrested. Aaron Brady was charged. He was accused of conspiring with another man, Dean Byrne, to persuade Daniel Cahill not to give evidence, which had the tendency or was intended to pervert the course of justice. He was also charged in relation to the video of Ronan Flynn, which was circulated online, and that he also intended to pervert the course of justice relating to that. He pleaded guilty to recording Ronan Flynn's video, and he will be sentenced on May 29th. And Dean Byrne's co-accused remains on trial. He's only charged with the offence relating to Daniel Cahill, but it's the first time that Aaron Brady has actually admitted to his guilt in a court of law, despite the best efforts of, I suppose, his own family even pleading their innocence and saying that Aaron Brady had nothing to do with that video being circulated online. Aaron Brady has now admitted that himself in a court of law.
Pat, this was literally the last case you worked on, and charging Aaron Brady was your last act as a serving Garda.
Yeah, I joined a dysfunctional organisation in 1985, and I left a dysfunctional organisation in 2018, and I had my belly full of it at that stage, and there was things that happened that were just soured me, and I said, I had enough of this. But I made a commitment to myself. I said to my wife, I'm going to stay on until I solve Adrian Donoghue's, because I know how to go about it. I know how to solve it. I know what I'm doing. I can get there. And if the things fall right, we'll get there. And the day I charged someone with the murder, I said, I'm going to retire. So I have a photograph of the charge sheet in one hand and my retirement papers in the other hand. And I went down and I charged Aaron Brady with the capital murder of Adrian Donoghue, and I came back up and I handed in my retirement papers, and that was it. And I felt I didn't let down Adrian's family. I didn't let down the people who stood on the footpaths and applauded Adrian's coffin as it passed by in Dundalk. And I was quite happy and content in myself. I had done a professional job, and that was it. I'm out, gone.
And my thanks to Pat Murray and Robin Schiller. I'm Fionnán Sheehan. Archive clips from RTE Primetime, 6-1 News, Virgin Media News, and the Irish Independent.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.